what if your political leadership was actively running ad campaigns against cautious measures like social distancing? What if that leader was the president? Well, that's exactly what's happening in Brazil. For weeks since COVID-19 began spreading there, Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has dismissed its seriousness. He's called it a little flu, and he's undermined governors and public health experts in fighting it. As of this week, there were more than 100,000 cases recorded, with around 8,000 deaths, although experts think there could be many more. To help us understand all of this, I'm joined by Marina Lopez, the Washington Post's Brazil correspondent. Hi, Marina.
Hi there.
And I'm also joined by Jessica Rich, assistant professor of political science at Marquette University and the author of State-Sponsored Activism, Bureaucrats and Social Movements in Democratic Brazil. Hi to you, Jessica.
Hello.
Marina, I'll start with you. You normally live in Sao Paulo, Brazil, but you got stuck here in the U.S. due to the coronavirus. How would you compare Brazil's handling of the virus and the outbreak to the United States' handling?
That's right. So it was actually really interesting because I was on maternity leave. I wanted to come see my family. They live here in Florida. And the situation in Brazil was so calm that I didn't quite realize the magnitude of the problem. I got on a plane with my two-month-old. I thought that would be safe. I got here to the States. And it was only really when I got here that I realized, oh, this is going to be much bigger than we expected in Brazil. At the time, this was in early March. Most Brazilians didn't think that this would affect them. It wasn't really on the news. And it was something that was seen as this outside worry, something that was happening in China, maybe starting to happen a little bit in California and in other places in the U.S., but not something that would affect our daily lives. And it was only when I arrived here, the day after I arrived, the stock market crashed. And that night, I called my husband and I said, I need you to, you know, bring our other son who's 2 years old to be with us here in the U.S. because I don't think I can get back on a plane with a two-month-old. This is much more serious than we had in mind. American Airlines stopped flights going from Brazil that night. He was able to get on the very last flight out and we were able to be reunited here. And so now we're following, you know, what's happening in Brazil from the U.S. and trying to figure out, when do we go back? When is it safe for you to bring a child back into a situation this chaotic and this disorganized? And we're still waiting. We don't know when we're going to be able to go back home to Sao Paulo.
Well, congrats on the new one, first of all. And Marina, I saw the news that just this week I've been looking at the numbers, and Brazil's numbers have surpassed China's in terms of confirmed cases and deaths. Can you give us just an overview of how COVID-19 is affecting Brazil and how accurate the record keeping is there?
Yes. So one of the problems here is that we really don't know because there's been such a lack of testing. Only 11% of the tests that are available in Brazil have actually been distributed. And so what we're seeing is bodies showing up at morgues that are unidentified. They don't know why these people died. They suspect it's COVID, but there's no real way of knowing because they haven't been tested. Mm-hmm. Another issue here is that we don't know when the peak of the pandemic is hitting the different cities in Brazil. So it's very hard for governors and for administrators to decide when to open things back up when you don't know if there's more coming, if the worst has already passed. I've also seen situations where people who should get tests, who need to be tested, are not getting tested. So I was speaking to a doctor last week whose family got coronavirus. He's going into hospitals. He's treating patients. And he doesn't know if he has the virus or not. He doesn't know if he's asymptomatic. But everybody in his house has tested positive. He cannot get a test, and he's going and treating people, treating pregnant women at hospitals without knowing if he's a vector for this disease. So it really becomes complicated when you don't have information, and it complicates the federal response to this pandemic. People are just going into this blind, not knowing where they are in the pandemic and how to best utilize the resources in different hospitals because there's just no numbers, there's no information.
Jessica, tell us about the medical infrastructure in Brazil. Is the country prepared for an outbreak like this in terms of resources and healthcare staff?
So the public health system, I would say, is one of the major challenges to this coronavirus response in Brazil, but it's also a major resource going forward. Which is to say that the challenge is that the public health system is incredibly underfunded. It's really underfunded, and in particular, the public hospital infrastructure is underfunded, especially in states like Rio that already didn't have enough beds to treat people, that certainly don't have enough PPP, but also don't have other basic supplies. So you can see that hospitals are already at capacity and beyond capacity in a number of states in Brazil. So I think that's a real challenge. Brazil, unlike the United States, actually has a national health system, and there is a constitutional right to public health in Brazil, which basically means that even though it's incredibly underfunded, there is a vast primary care system that exists in Brazil. And so going forward, if and when tests are available, there's an infrastructure for a testing and tracing and social isolation approach to combating the pandemic. But as it is, the system is incredibly underfunded. And you can see that, I mean, just in terms of when you talk to doctors and nurses, like Marina was saying, I think some of them are quitting. They're incredibly frustrated and scared about what's happening at the moment.
So, Jessica, can you tell us how the president there, Bolsonaro, has been talking about the pandemic and messaging about the pandemic?
It's funny. I mean, funny in a sort of tragicomic way. When I hear people talking about Trump's denial of coronavirus here in the United States, because every time Trump says something that's minimizing the seriousness of the situation, I hear something that Bolsonaro says that's like 100 times worse. So He completely denies that this is a problem at all. He's called it just a little flu. He's told Brazilians they should be fighting the virus like a man, not like a little boy. In late March, he actually took out a $1 million TV ad that encouraged people to please carry on like normal. He himself has been going out into the streets, shaking hands with crowds. So you get these amazingly terrifying photo ops. Like there's one of him wiping his nose and shaking hands with an elderly person after he wiped his nose who was wearing a mask. Yeah. So he's not only denied, you know, the problem, but he's actively making it worse and challenging other politicians who are trying to advocate for social isolation.
Marina, are people in Brazil concerned by their president right now?
I think like in so many other areas, coronavirus really has delivered a magnifying glass through which to view Brazil. And Brazil was already a country that was very polarized before this. But when you have such a splintered response from the president and from the government in general, the president is saying, carry on as normal, let's get Brazil to open up again. And you have governors saying, please stay at home. You have scientists saying, this is only going to get worse if you don't implement some social isolation measures. You really see that division more clearly in Brazil. So Bolsonaro supporters are taking to the streets. They're going to rallies. And at the same time, you see a lot of Brazilians very scared that this could get worse. And I think it's worth mentioning here that unlike the United States, 60% of Brazilian workers are what we call informal workers. They don't get a steady paycheck. They don't have a relationship with a company that's, you know, a legal official relationship. And so those workers have been hit the hardest by this. These are the street vendors, people who really live paycheck to paycheck and don't have a steady paycheck coming in. They are really suffering economically right now. So when the president says, I really want to open the government back up, if only these pesky scientists would let me, he's catering to this electorate and he's thinking about the next election. He wants the support of the voters who are really suffering economically here. So I don't think it's just, you know, the president is crazy and out of his mind. I think there is a strategy behind this. And so this splintered response from the government has divided the country. Brazil is the only country that I can think of that's facing now a public health crisis, an economic crisis, and a political crisis with a president who has no cohesion with Congress at a time when you need Congress to be passing stimulus bills to help people economically. You need a united effort to combat the public health crisis that the country is facing. It really could not come at a worse time. With an administration that is losing more and more support from the public and from Congress every single week.
And what about local leaders and governors? Aside from the president, Marina, how are these lower level leaders or more localized leaders responding to the crisis? And are they doing anything to offer relief for for people, as you said, who are working and who need to keep working at a time like this?
Congress has passed a stimulus bill. It's a one-time check that Brazilians who are informal workers get. So it's equivalent to about 1 month's salary for these low-income workers. It's around $200 US. And that's been a lot for most of these workers. It's helped them get through the last month. Now, the month has passed and they need something to help them get through the rest of the crisis, the next few months. We don't really know how long it's going to last. For that, you still need a lot of cohesion within Congress. And Brazil's Congress is not known for that. There are 36 different political parties. Getting anything passed is difficult in the best of times. And now with the way the president has been behaving, it's become even harder. A lot of Brazil's governors have shut down businesses. They are keeping kids at home and shutting down schools. But it really varies state to state. And in some states, like in Manaus, in northern Brazil, in the middle of the Amazon, you really see a health system that's completely collapsing, that there are no more beds, there are no more ventilators. And so the crisis is more acute in certain areas, certain parts of the country. In other parts of the country, people don't understand what the big deal is, and they're calling for a return to normalcy, much like what you see in the U.S. Brazil is a continental-sized country, and so it affects the country differently in different parts.
Jessica, there's been talk of a potential impeachment process for some time now, unrelated to Bolsonaro's handling of the virus outbreak. Remind us what that was about, and where do those investigations stand now?
A number of people have wanted to push forward an impeachment process for a while. And there's a new potential for investigating the president with the exit of the very popular Minister of Justice, who was popular among Bolsonaro supporters, who essentially quit his job last week and in quitting gave a very long, very scathing speech accusing the president of misconduct. And that has led to a new opportunity for the Supreme Court actually to push forward some investigations of criminal wrongdoing. I don't know what the prospects are of any of them really gaining traction at the moment. The president's popularity, it's hard to tell how popular he is, because the best way of doing these public opinion polls is in person, which you obviously can't do during a pandemic.
Right.
But his popularities are around, estimates are 25%, which is incredibly low, but it's actually not low enough to be around where presidents usually get impeached. So, you know, you've got a very low base of support, but it's a very strong base of support who will continue to support him basically no matter what he does. And, you know, just like in the United States, politicians pay attention to approval ratings and popularity. And so they're kind of waiting to see whether to push forward any of these proposals. So nothing's happening in Congress right now, but I do think anything can change in the future.
Jessica Rich is assistant professor of political science at Marquette University and author of State-Sponsored Activism, Bureaucrats, and Social Movements in Democratic Brazil. Marina Lopez is the Washington Post's Brazil correspondent. Jessica, Marina, thank you both so much.
Thank you.